Good morning, friends. You're tuned in to episode 90 of Gamer Heroes, the weekly show where we talk about news, reviews, and anything else happening in games today. My name's Cam Koenig. With me, as always, is my boy, Thomas Egan.
Hey, it's me.
Hey, it's you. How's it going?
Good. I didn't make a sound this time because I'll probably sound a little stuffy for this episode.
Yeah, feel a little under the weather.
Yeah, but I'm happy to be here.
Hey, and that's all that matters.
It is.
And you, listener, we're happy you're here, too, to hang out with us on the day of the Gamer Heroes episodes. I don't really have any announcements, so you been playing anything? I guess we're just gonna roll right into that.
A little this, a little that. Played a little bit of Doom.
Like Doom 2016?
Yeah, Doom 2016. Okay. I really like that game. I need to sit down and just finish it, because it's got a lot of things about it that I like, but when I sit it down for a little while, I forget how to play. And likewise, I just could not figure out, I was doing bad. I have it bumped up to one of the harder difficulties. I think the hardest one I can play on my first playthrough. And it's not like insane, but it's a good challenge and I like it. But when you come back and don't remember the controls, makes it tough.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way with that. And also to like some extent, I know it's not the same team, but sort of like sister studio under the same umbrella. But like I fell off Wolfenstein, like the first one of that like new reboot. Mm-hmm. I fell off that one a little quicker than I had hoped, but I think it was just because I think something else came out and I was playing a lot of that, and then whenever I went to go pick it back up, it just didn't grab me as much. Like I just like lost all the momentum kind of going into that.
I think that happened to me with Red Dead. I had a couple people, but one guy in particular who was telling me, I was like, you know, I'm gonna play this over a long period of time, I'll drip feed it, because that's how I like these games. That's how I liked GTA, even though I never beat it, which is fine. I had a really good time with that game, and I'm happy with, you know, I'm happy with the amount of time I spent with it. This buddy, he says, no, that's not what you should do. You should absolutely power through this thing and then mosey around, because it's going to get plenty of content drip fed out to everybody. And I think he was right, because I tried picking it up the other day and I'm like, oh boy, I forgot how to do anything. And I think I would really enjoy it if I played that game with some amount of consistency. The tough thing is, I've heard other people say this, and I agree, that is a game that needs to be played at least 1 hour at a time, at least, because otherwise you can't do a lot. And a big part of the game, I think, is that slow pace to it that I like, that I think it does a good job of putting all throughout the game, where you have to spend time riding around on your horse. There's just a speed at which the game moves that makes me feel more immersed in it that I really appreciate. But unless I'm playing it for a decent amount of time, it's kind of lost on me. So I need to choose to dedicate more game time to something like that, or even something like Doom. So, you know, use it or lose it. But
sure,
I don't want to sit down and spend all that time on one game. I like hopping between them, but it's making it difficult for myself.
Right, yeah. My girlfriend is currently, has been for the past, I'd say, maybe a couple of months. It's kind of hard to keep track of just time in general at this point. But she's been playing Red Dead and just has dove in really, really deep into it. And she's very much the type of person that can't really bounce around from game to game. So she's always like, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to play Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And then I'm just going to play that. And she played that for maybe 150 hours and then kind of fell off of that whenever she got a PS4 and Red Dead 2, and has just been like playing a whole lot of that. And it's interesting, because that's definitely not the way that I consume games either. But that game definitely lends itself a lot better to somebody that's willing to just like focus its time solely on that. Because I know that if I were playing with that, in addition to the fact that I have ADHD, like I would just not be able to focus on just that game, because there's so many other things coming out that I want to play and just like dip my toes into a little bit, and I would just completely lose interest in that.
Yeah, there are plenty of games that satisfy my ADD notion within the game, of like Skyrim. I'm just gonna go over to this cave up here, I'm gonna see what's up. Like that satisfies that for me, but only if I play with some amount of regularity, because once I'm hooked, I'll keep coming back. But if I'm not hooked, if I leave it, if I play something else for even a few days or a week, I have so much trouble jumping back in. So really, I just have to commit to one thing and decide when I'm gonna be done with it. And this is kind of a challenge to myself, because I really struggle with this. I mean, I want to finish Into the Woods. I keep just putting it on and listening to the music and stuff.
I think you keep calling it Into the Woods. Isn't it just Night in the Woods?
It's Night in the Woods. Yeah. Every single time I call it the wrong thing.
It's okay. I forgive you. Oh. And I love you.
Oh, thank you.
No problem.
That game is super charming and I need to play more of it. And the more small amounts I play, I'm like, man, I'm not very far in this game at all. Like, I'm really enjoying it. And I've technically, like, if you looked at my playtime, if it even shows it, I'm sure it would be a decent amount, but it's me just like setting down a Switch on my table while I do other things and listen to the music.
Awesome. Awesome.
So it's a challenge to myself to, I gotta laser focus on this stuff, which I have trouble with, but I think it will pay off more in the end. Also, if I'm trying to like write a review or something, like I want to finish this game so I can be like, hey, if you're like me and you wait for stuff to go on sale, here's a great item to check out. You know, or even with Doom, it's like, yeah, this came out years ago, but it goes on sale all the time. And
you
the
can
quality
find that game for dirt cheap. Now.
Yeah. I mean, I got that bundle with Wolfenstein for $15.
Yeah. That's
crazy.
An absolute steal.
So, yeah, I want to do that stuff and review it just to kind of work out those muscles, so to speak. But I actually need to clear up my backlog. It's not the end of the world if I don't. I mean, I'm gaming just fine without it.
Sure.
But so much of my game time is dedicated to persistent experiences, like games as a service, like Hearthstone and Apex and stuff like that. I don't know if that's games as a service, but
I think those qualify. Like,
yeah,
that's something where it's like very, the content is very like drip fed towards you, like over time, to like, it's got something else to just kind of keep you just coming back for more, like with the Hearthstone expansions, or, you know, like
even the Tavern Brawl.
Yeah, right. Or like the Battle Pass stuff in like every Battle Royale right now.
Yeah, and both of them are basically all multiplayer.
Sure.
Hearthstone has some other stuff, but it's, you know, it's not that much. It's not what you go there for first. You know, same with Overwatch. I mean, that's the thing that really got me into the loop of spending a lot of time on a multiplayer-only game. And I love that game enough that it's not like I missed single player, but now I'm having trouble learning how to beat a single player game again. It's just like I've forgotten how to stick with it.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. I know it's hard for me to jump back into a lot of like solely multiplayer experiences because I feel like I'm mostly a single player kind of guy, but I've always really just kind of romanticized this notion of like, oh, I've got these like friends that are hopping online. And I totally used to be this way where you'd like, oh, I got some friends online. We've got both of this game, but let's hang out. Let's just go like play a game together or something. And it's hard for me to jump back into that too. It's like almost this muscle that you have to work out or else like it's a use it or lose it thing. Essentially. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting.
I have some buddies who have been on Xbox since, you know, the days of old. Mm. And I was until PS4 came out. This is the first Sony system I ever bought. So I did lose some of my buddies across the gap, you know, across the console gap. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame because I don't even care that we can't game together, but I wish we could hang out in a similar digital space to just kick it in party chat.
Sure.
You know, because we don't occupy many of the same spaces online or anything. So I wish we had that. I mean, even I just wish, I guess Discord is a thing. I guess that's the point of Discord. But since I'm not on a PC, whatever, like Discord's never appealed to me that much. But yeah, I just wish I could hang out with those guys, like just be in a space with them. Mm-hmm. But since that ship has sailed, I don't do that with anybody anymore. So same story, kind of use it or lose it. I haven't done that in ages. I don't think I've done that ever on my PlayStation.
Yeah, I think the last time that I actually really like actively used like a party chat system in a console was back on the 360 when I was in like high school.
Yeah.
I would like, all of our friends would just like load up into this party, and it was the first 8 people there because that was like the size limit of the party at the time. And like once, like we just would hang out and play different games, but we'd just still be like able to talk to each other. And it's weird, like over time, if the idea of that, just like, man, I just really want to fucking focus on this game, like quit, just leave me alone, this is my time, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a weird thing. And I kind of got back into that a little bit with the Division 2 and some like people that I met online through the Kind of Funny community that I would just like go and hang out with, and we would just play Division. But that game is also just, I kind of am viewing that game as it's a vehicle to hang out with your friends and just do something.
Yeah.
You know,
it's more about just being together.
I don't really give two shits about like what's happening in that game.
Right.
Like I will like listen to podcasts or like get caught up on like some like old odd YouTube videos or whatever, and just like run around and like do some random events and stuff.
But well, that stuff was super fun back in my WoW days, where, you know, you've got your friends list, you've got party chat, you know, if you're squatting up, you've got guild chat. We found that across all characters, regardless of whatever you can make on WoW, you can make a private channel, like a private chat channel, and just name it whatever you want. And so all you have to do is type /join and then the name of the channel. So we just made one, and no matter what character we were on, like all of our friends knew that that channel existed on our server. So you could pop on and be able to type, as long as you're on the same faction, you could type, you know, talk to each other from anywhere. And you didn't have to be in the same guild, because maybe if somebody's in like a raiding guild, you know, this dude's alt who's just there to be like a power level character isn't going to be in that guild. So it was nice that you were always able to talk to each other just at any time. And that was so cool. I mean, a lot of that game was just that. It was, this is the time that I want to listen to music, and I'm going to use this game to entertain my eyes. Like, really, I'm just relaxing. The game is just, you know, the game could be substituted for a lot of different things. But the difference between this and most other things is that my friends are here.
Oh, absolutely. You know, yeah, I 100% agree with you there.
So, yeah, I used to do that just all the time. But that, I don't want to say that ship has sailed, but honestly, I mean, I'm not really upset the direction my stuff has gone, because also a big portion of where I spend my time now is trying to introduce people to party games like couch co-op and social party gaming and stuff. So I'm not really upset about that, because the power of couch co-op is as strong today as it ever has been. It's just that we're all grown up, and it's hard to find a place to get together with your friends.
Who has the time, honestly?
It's hard.
Like, if you have to like go somewhere, then you have to like kind of set aside that time. If you can be doing other things, just hanging out and party chat, you know?
Yeah, you have to plan for it. Where like if you were at home and you were just, oh, I got 15 minutes, you know, you just pop in and you're there. But otherwise, it's a commitment, especially if you have kids or if you have any reasonable amount of obligations, like anybody does. That's really something you've got to want, you know.
Sure.
And so kind of my thing is I want to show people that this is something that they want, because it's a unique experience that you can only get being side by side with each other. But, you know, it's just hard to get people in the room for that stuff because most people haven't done it. You just got to show them that it's cool, like that it exists. I mean, most people haven't heard of Duck Game even, and Duck Game is so much fun.
It's real stupid.
Yeah, it's great. It's like the gold standard of just like, all right, it pretty much has like three buttons, but if you really want to keep playing and get into it, there's a little bit more stuff.
Sure.
But no matter what, you're probably going to laugh when you play this game. You're going to laugh and you're going to cheer.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you're actually going to blow yourself up. It's going to be great. But yeah, I really like that stuff. But you know, that reminds me, something I played this past weekend at our casual event was Astro Bears.
Okay.
I played the past couple weekends. Our buddy Lang introduced us to it, or introduced me to it, certainly. It is a Switch game. I don't know what it's on. Honestly, didn't even look it up. But it's a Switch game, and Lang said it goes on sale all the time. He got it for $1.
All right. Cool.
Dude, the game's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
It is like the old Sonic the Hedgehog, like Sonic 2 minigame, where you're running around that sphere and you're trying to collect coins. If you're not familiar with
okay.
it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so just imagine.
With like the like different little like red and blue balls that you have to like pass through. Okay, cool.
So, but instead of like red and blue balls that you're either trying to collect or like avoid, instead, imagine that where you're like running around a sphere, but it's like Tron. So you have X amount of bears, so there are three of us playing each time, and you start on the sphere, and it's Tron. So you go around the sphere, and you've got a trail that goes behind you. You can jump, you can hold jump to jetpack, and you can boost, but boosting usually kills you. Like, it's pretty tough to control, but in a charming way. And game's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, that sounds pretty fucking rad.
It's so accessible. Like, all you have to do is look at this game for 1 second to understand what's happening on screen. So, I mean, you don't even need an explanation. Like, someone can be, how can I play? Or you can be just like, there's one button, you know.
Great.
Like, there's a stick and there's one button. Play. And it is so much fun. I mean, but in the past couple Wednesdays, we played at least an hour and a half of that game, which is a lot considering the matches can be like 5 seconds or 30 seconds.
That's fucking awesome.
It's great.
I want to check that out. We should play that sometime soon.
We should. So add that to the list of great party games, because that is, it's I would argue that that is one of the most accessible games I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, because it's so simple.
That's high praise, Thomas.
I love that stuff.
Cool.
So, yeah, add that to the list, and I'll show you. I love that game.
Yeah, please do. Speaking of high intensity, high octane action games to play with your friends, I got back into Stardew Valley.
Oh, that's exciting.
So I picked that up on the PS4. Oh, man, it was about a year and a half ago, and I fell off it just as fast as, like, I spent maybe 2 hours with it and just had zero interest in going back.
Yep.
And I think that might have just...
Tale as old as time.
I think that might have just been the fact that I was playing it on a console. Mm-hmm. And so I bought it for my Switch. It was, it late last week. It had to have been, like, the start of the weekend or something.
So this was just a few days ago.
Yeah, oh, no, yeah, totally. That game's fucking good.
Dude, it's great.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so that game's cool. And when you were telling me about this before, mm-hmm. I've heard you say that. I experienced that. My girlfriend experienced that. I've heard it in a bunch of places. It's in the first, like, week or even the first 2 weeks, but especially the first, like, week in the game, which is 2, 3, 4, 5 hours almost. It's not really clear what you're doing.
Sure.
Like, your goals aren't really clear. There's not a lot of reward. Like, it's teaching you how to play the game, but there's not that much payoff of just like, hey, you did it. But once you get over that hump, immediately it's just like, oh,
yeah, and
I can do anything.
Like, drip feeding you a little bit as, like, the days go on. It's like, hey, this, like, sort of thing is opening up. Like, I just talked to this cool wizard in a tower, and he's just hey, this community center is pretty cool. And then I had to save and quit because I had to run and go do other stuff. So I haven't actually, like, jumped into that. But, like, just that was not something that was available to me at the very start of the game. Mm-hmm. When I basically just woke up and some stranger just walked into my house and gave me a box of parsnips.
Right.
Yeah. But no, it's really good. I felt hooked almost immediately, actually. Like, I was, like, planting the seeds and then, like, just going through that repetition of, all right, well, I got to get up. Gotta go water my plants. By then, all the shops are open. I'll go into town, hang out with the people a little bit, go, like, clear out some of my farm, like, kind of wind down the rest of the day. Might get some fishing in. That fishing minigame is not that great, but I actually really enjoy it.
I totally agree. Yeah, I agree with everything you just said.
Hard to play, but it's, like, kind of... I am a sucker for fishing minigames in pretty much anything you put them in. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. They're always my just... absolute highlight. Yeah. We should do a challenge mode where we rank the best fishing mini games. I would absolutely want to do that.
Okay, yeah, I can get down with that.
Yeah, no, I'm really, really enjoying Stardew Valley a whole lot. I'm really excited to have that just be my... All right, as of this week right now, I'm in the middle of packing up my apartment to move to a different apartment. And it's stressful.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just need, like, 20 minutes of, like, all right, the only thing I'm going to focus on is watering these goddamn potatoes.
Yep.
That's what I'm going to do, and it's going to be nice, and I'm going to be relaxed, goddamn it, and it's going to be right. Good, all right?
No, I love the idea of going to a game like this, because this is what it is. You sit down, you're like, I'm going to relax, and then you start your day job, you
right.
know, so to speak.
Right.
You sit down, you're like, all right, now I've got a schedule.
I'm going to go farm.
Right.
You know, that's easy, right?
Yeah.
That's not hard work at all. Go sit there and just, like, tear down rocks.
It's really rewarding.
And I know it's, like, totally how farming works. But with this game, I'm definitely feeling you get into it. You get out of it what you put into it.
100%.
So I definitely am really big fan of just it will let you go as deep into these mechanics as you want to go. If you just want to just plant shit and just, like, hang out and just have a nice relaxing time. It'll let you do it.
Dude, when Lissy played, she hated that fishing minigame. She didn't quite understand what the rules, like how you were supposed to do it.
It's a little confusing.
The game doesn't really
tell you much of anything, to be completely honest. It's like kind of Minecraft-esque in that sort of way.
Yeah, I think it would... I mean, there's no way it's going to happen at this point, but it would really do well if it spent more time holding your hand with the early fishing to just be like, hey, here's advice. Like, mm-hmm. you're tapping to... too frequently, like
sure.
tap
or if you even if it had like some sort of
it,
or if it had some sort of like thing off to the side that's not like the visual cue that it has where you're like you're trying to keep that fish in the bar.
Yeah, so for
but even if it was just
it,
like
you,
hey
you tap...
too fast too slow,
right? Because so for anybody who hasn't played it, on the left side of your screen is a you know a vertical bar, and there's a picture of a little fish that goes up and down this thing, and that's it trying to escape. So you tap the screen you know, as fast or slow as you need to get this bar to appear wherever the fish is. So when the fish moves, if it goes up, you need to tap a little faster. If it, you know, goes down, you need to tap a little less. You know, it's more or less as simple as that, but it doesn't really explain it that well. And if you don't immediately pick it up, it doesn't do a good job of, like we're saying, letting you know what you did wrong.
Sure.
So Lizzie played the game, went a whole year of the game, a year and change, she fished like one time and she's like, I'm never doing this ever again. And she didn't.
Yeah.
She
went the whole time. You don't have to, is the awesome thing. Like, it's just this side thing that the game does not force you into at all.
And I barely touched the mines where you're going down digging and killing monsters and stuff. I have no idea if you've even seen that yet.
So I just started. So me and my girlfriend and our friend Laura, we all started a farm together. Because Switch has the multiplayer update.
How does that work?
So one person hosts, in quotes, like the game, and it's their farm, and the other players, up to three other players, join in as farmhands, and it just like populates just a cabin on your farm. And it's essentially like you all share money, but you don't share like energy. So each of you has your own different energy. And you're essentially just like all farming together and hanging out. You can date the other players, like they're listed as single. Oh, really? Under the relationships thing, which is pretty cool.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's essentially like you're just playing Stardew Valley, but like your friends are all playing another instance of Stardew Valley, but in that same world.
That's nice.
And you just like can like see each other on the screen and give each other items and a whole bunch of other stuff. It's pretty cool. I really liked that. It was just kind of a cool thing. Like I would just hang out with them and then like one of them would like, I would basically collect all the crops and then just like run those into town while they were still like working on something, or they were just doing stuff and I was just fishing all day.
You can have multiple save files on that, right?
I don't actually know.
I know for a fact I can, because I just started a second game.
Oh yeah, you can have different, that's what you mean. You can have like different mode. Farms and different.
Yeah,
like,
that way you can save one for like your
sure,
team.
Yeah, like
team
I have my personal one that I'm using to like, I am going to just like explore this game and kind of figure out this world for myself. And then this other one is like, all right, hey, we're all hanging out anyway. Let's just play farm together.
A happy farmily.
Yeah. All right, moving on.
Can you name, you have to restart over and rename your farm.
Yeah, it fucking sounds like we do.
Yeah, sorry.
So what actually has been taking up most of my time this weekend.
Oh, hey, real quick, before we're off Stardew.
Yes.
I got to give you the advice. Okay, if anybody else starts this.
Yes.
Three things I wish I knew when I started.
Okay.
Number one, you can use your shovel or your hoe to dig worms out of the ground.
What?
You'll see.
Okay.
At some point soon, you'll start seeing worms poke their heads out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Use your hoe on those.
Okay.
You'll get good stuff. You want to do that.
Okay.
Very much.
Good to know.
I went like a whole year without knowing that, and I was like, wow, I'm getting a ton of stuff.
I'm only like day 10 of spring, year one.
Well, it'll start, I think it goes all every season. But,
okay, great.
You know,
cool.
They last a long time. So like for me, they were everywhere all the time. I was like, what are these things? And then when Lizzie told me, I was like, wow, I'm getting so much treasure now. So use the hoe on worms.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is fix the minecarts as early as possible. There's a thing in the community center where when stuff opens up, you'll know when that happens.
Yeah.
When stuff opens up, you're like, wow, there's a lot of stuff I can do here. One of them allows you to repair the minecarts. Do that as soon as you possibly can. That is the most time-saving thing you can do in that whole game. Excuse me. And what was the other one? There was I can't remember. Bad advice. Okay. If you upgrade your watering can,
mm-hmm.
you can hold the space. I mean, I play on mobile, so mm-hmm. Use your activate or whatever. If you hold it down, it will actually water multiple spaces in front of you.
That's really good.
Also had to look that up. It never tells you that. And even after replaying the game.
Good to know.
Yeah, so there's some stuff there that I don't know if you were just supposed to figure it out. Because even when I was upgrading the watering can, I was like, I'm not sure I understand what the big deal is about this thing. Like, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's why you do it. Game doesn't tell you that.
Good to know. So yeah, that is something I will keep in mind. I will make sure to do all three of those things.
Cool.
Because I want to be a good farmer
mm-hmm.
and have a good time in Stardew Valley. So something else that's been taking up, as I mentioned earlier, more of my weekend than Stardew Valley, which I did not expect.
Cray.
Is... I'm going to call it Valhalla, but the actual title is VA-11 Hall A. It's a bartending simulator mixed with the visual novel kind of a thing. It's really fucking like, cool.
Like where it's, people appear as like two-dimensional drawings, like on the left and right.
Kind yeah, of thing. Yeah, yeah. So you are a bartender and your name is Jill. And you basically are just like coming into work, serving drinks, and you basically work through your entire shift day to day. And people will come in and talk with you. You'll like learn about the world and those characters as a whole and have like cool interactions with those characters, just kind of like as you're just working randomly, and occasionally they'll just be like, hey, give me this drink. And then like you have this little like booklet or like glossary of different drinks that you can search by name, or like you can search by like this drink is sweet, or this drink is like spicy or sour, or this one is like manly, or this one's like a promotional item, or this one's like a rare drink that's only in like a certain bottle or something. And you basically just like shows you the recipe and how to make the drinks. There's like a very brief tutorial that explains the entire like quote gameplay stuff in it, because a lot of that game is reading, which I know I can be a huge turnoff for a lot of people.
Dude, I told you when I played Pyre, I wish that game was only reading.
Really? Because
that's the part of the game I love.
I think you would really like this.
I probably would, based on what you're telling me.
It's on Switch. It just came out on Switch. I'm playing it. I got a copy sent from the publisher for just kind of check out, you know, talk about on the show. And I'm really enjoying it. There's some really neat stuff in there. I really like that. You basically just show up as this girl and you essentially, you're discovering like not only the other characters, but like stuff about like your character as just like things
go on. Oh, you discover yourself.
Yeah, you just discover yourself. But it's like all coming up very organically. Like you can tell that there's like certain connections with some characters that are there and some of them that aren't there. And everybody has like their own distinct personalities, which is very cool. It seems really well written. The soundtrack's really, really fucking cool. It's like this very kind of synthy, cyberpunky sounding stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm really digging it. There's, I guess, some like a like quote game over check that I found so far is you have to do well enough serving drinks to make enough money to pay rent by the end of the month.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes you'll come home from a shift and your character's just like, okay, well, I've been singing this song in my head, so maybe I should go buy this. But you also have to balance whether or not you have enough money for that. So it's like, it's
like a character happiness bar kind of thing.
Not really. Like, it just affects like how focused you are for your next shift.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cool. And essentially it hits a little too close to home, because you have to weigh, do I want to be happy? Do I want to pay rent? And I'm like, man, all right. I can relate to that one.
Right.
But I'm really, really into it. I'm probably, I want to say 4 or 5 hours into it right now. I'm definitely planning on for sure finishing this game. And I'm,
how far into the game do you think you are?
I mean, that's,
do you think you're still in the beginning stretch?
So at this, like, as things start and you meet like certain characters, they kind of allude to different things that get talked about by a bunch of other characters, because there are these big goings on in this essentially like crime rampant city. Like, everything is very corrupt. It's all like dystopian cyberpunk bullshit, but there's,
dude,
like,
you can't have cyberpunk without that.
Oh,
dystopia.
Absolutely. Like, there's, your bar is basically within months of like shutting down because like some sort of like corporation or like government entity above you just was like, well, you guys aren't making enough money, so get the fuck out of here. So you're basically just working there as much as you can to like try and make sure you can pay rent. But people are talking about like different events, and like there's like a concert going on, and like people who were like going to the concert came in, and like the person giving the concert came in, which was kind of cool, but like they had been talked about by a few people who came in previously. Like, everything feels pretty linked together. There's it feels like right now things are still kind of like starting to ramp up. I don't think I've hit like a point where there's this like natural like shit is popping off moment, but I feel like things are just getting to the point where it's about there, and I'm pretty excited to kind of see where that goes.
Do you have, besides happiness versus rent versus money, is there like how much decision making are you doing that has an impact on anything besides like those invisible bars, so
sure,
to speak?
Sure. So there's really, I guess the only kind of decisions, the storytelling is very linear. Like, it's just telling the story that it wants to.
Well, because really, I ask that to ask the question, is, do you think there's replayability to it?
I don't know if there is. I mean, I don't know if there's any sort of, like, difficulty, or I don't know if there's any sort of different, like, dialogue choices or dialogue things that are said, or, like, how things play out depending on how well you do.
Right. Like, you said it's linear.
Yes, it's very linear. Excuse me. Sorry about that. It's very linear. So, like, it's just, like, telling you the story that it's wanting to tell you. So, like, the characters for each day, like, this person's always going to show up and this person's always going to show up. And it's essentially like you're, you know, reading a novel that's just on screen with, like, cool cyberpunk looking characters. I like the world building in that, like, you find out about everything through, like, everybody's, like, different perspectives and everything. But then before your shifts, every time you start the day, you're just, like, sitting at your apartment on your phone, and you can, like, read news articles to see, like, what's going on. And they provide insight depending on, like, what this person said, like, oh, maybe this isn't a super trustworthy news source. Or you can read, like, something that's essentially 4chan, which is kind of neat. Like, they did a pretty good job of having some pretty believable, like, internet forum lingo in there.
Yeah.
There's one where you can read, like, a blog from this, like, idol who's putting on a concert, like, a whole bunch of, like, cool stuff like that. Like, you're just kind of naturally experiencing the world as this, like, 20-something single girl who is a bartender.
That's cool.
It is really, really cool, and I'm really excited to check out more of it. I'm definitely going
to
finish it.
I'm excited to check that out, too. Everything you're saying sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, I really think you would be into it, because I know you're a big fan of those, like, kind of bite-sized indies. I don't think this game's going to be super long, but I also don't know for sure, you know?
What's the visual style like?
It's kind of got a very pixelated, almost, like, I don't want to say 16-bit, because that seems a little, like, diminutive of, like, what it's trying to go for, but it's, like, this really cool pixel art style that it's like a kind of a pixel art, but with, like, an anime art style, like, that kind of blended together with this, like, cool cyberpunk aesthetic.
All right.
I'm really digging it. It's pretty rad.
Cool.
Slinging Drinks is pretty cool.
What's the name of that game one more time?
It's called, let me.
Well, it's called Valhalla.
And, like, the people in the bar, like, refer to it as Valhalla because that is the name of the bar. And they're just like, we just call it Valhalla. Like, just don't worry about it.
Oh, that's funny.
But it's like VA-11 Hall A, Cyberpunk Bartending Action. It's the subtitle. It's really cool. I recommend, if you guys are looking for just, like, a cool bite-sized story, and it's not, like, anything super hard to digest. Like, once you start the game up, it literally tells you, hey, this game's really good to just, like, hang out and relax to. So it's like, go grab some snacks, grab some drinks. Like, just chill out, get yourself comfortable, and just enjoy our game. And I really
kind of
appreciate
that.
This
all sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm definitely really, really into it.
I forgot to ask you. What are you playing about?
Nintendo Switch. It just came out on Switch, and I got a review code from the publisher for it, and it is pretty cool.
Sweet.
I definitely recommend you guys pick that up if that sounds like something you are interested in. It definitely seems worth your time so far. So.
Cool. I'm down.
All right. Well, then let's go ahead and take a break real quick. Then we'll come back, talk about some news, and keep this train rolling.
Cool.
Yeah.
The Heroes Podcast Network is expanding with a brand new show, Kaiju Curry House. Three guys from the UK will be bringing you a fortnightly show, premiering on the 9th of April 2019. Our show will be discussing everything relating to kaiju, our childhood memories of discovering kaiju, our hopes of upcoming kaiju movies, where to get merchandise, lesser known kaiju movies, games that star giant monsters, comics, books, TV shows, art. Did I miss anything? So, we invite you to listen to our ramblings, embrace your love of kaiju, and be part of the show. Drop us a line on Twitter at UK Kaiju and support us at patreon.com/heroespodcasts.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Kind of wanted to go over some news items that we both kind of wanted to highlight a little bit this week. Not going to do some necessarily deep dives into a whole lot of them, but something that I thought was really interesting that I actually haven't seen a whole lot of people talking about is Xbox went through and made sure to, like, completely revise their community standards just for the Xbox platform. It's got much more of a focus on positivity and, like, promoting good sportsmanship and just like actively combating toxicity. They even include like examples of like, hey, you should.
I've read those.
Yeah, it's like, hey, if you want to, like, if somebody does a good job, you should fucking tell them. Like, I think that's really cool. And I know this all seems like really trivial stuff, but it's really cool to see like a big player kind of like taking that stance and like really pushing that to the forefront and making being a dick on the internet kind of a bannable offense for them. You know?
I'm good with that. Honestly, I don't have. I think I'm generally a pretty forgiving and even lenient person. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to like just shitty behavior online, man, I just don't have much tolerance at all.
Same,
like,
and I'm the exact same way.
If you're a jerk, mm-hmm. like I just be banned from the game. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, if I go into League of Legends and I have a 40-minute game ahead of me, and 2 minutes in, you called me a noob, killed yourself, and left, mm-hmm. you should not be able to play for like a month at least. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, if you did that one time and it's clear you did it on purpose, out. No forgiveness.
It's just really irritating. And I've had some people who are like, hey, you should come and play with us. We've got the, and they like talk about one of the guys that they play with, and he just like, anytime someone shoots him, then he just like swears up a storm and just like goes wild and like just gets really angry. And I'm like, I want nothing to fucking do with that. Yeah. That does not sound like a good time to me.
No, it doesn't sound fun if you were the person doing that. And it's corrosive if you're
even
around.
It's incredibly like,
if you have to turn your TV,
awful,
if you have to like mute your TV, if you're playing around other people because the way that someone else is acting online,
sure,
that is bad.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Or, well, I mean, it's a shame, but it's shameful.
Totally.
You know, and I wish that stuff, you know, it's taken a long time, but over the past like 5-10 years, a lot of organizations, including Microsoft, including Riot Games, which, lol, they're in the news right now again.
Oh, yeah, they definitely are. We didn't pull that one to kind of talk about.
Yeah, but people can read about that elsewhere.
Yeah, they just did some walkouts based on some, like, a forced arbitration clause mm-hmm. in, like, some contracts that employees signed, and it's kind of a whole mess over there. I didn't do anywhere near enough research into it to want to talk about it, like, on this show.
Yeah, there have just been complaints for a long, long time about
Kotaku
toxic
and
work environment.
Gamesindustry.biz did some really, really good like reporting on it. You guys should go definitely check those out.
Yeah.
But something I really liked that Xbox put in here was also, here's examples of what not to do, mm-hmm. which I know, like, if you're trying to like train a behavior, you never want to like get that out there, but this very much feels
so
like
wholesome.
It feels like a direct response to, oh, well, I didn't know that I was like getting that bad. But now it's like explicitly stated out, like, hey, telling somebody to like go and like hurt themselves or worse.
You read
online
them off. Do you got them in front of you?
Yeah, I don't want to read them off. Like, they're good things to say.
You know,
but
the ones I saw, so I like the way they bracket it off. So they're like, go explicit suggestion here yourself. Or it's like, oh man, you're playing like trash. And then in brackets,
yeah, my,
like
my favorite thing that was like a little funny was they're like, they said trash talk, you know, it's fine. It's going to happen. Like, you can't really kind of police. Like, that's fun for a lot of people, you know, but they had acceptable trash talk.
Yes, that's
and
my favorite
part. It's really interesting. Like, that was one of their examples of acceptable trash talk was that was some serious potato aim. Get wrecked.
Right.
Which
classic.
I mean, you know, classic burn. yeah. And like some of these like feel like a little too far, but mm-hmm. like.
If we can dial it back to this,
it feels like it's like a dad wanting to be cool with the hip kids, but also like try and educate them on the dangers of being a dick on the internet.
Right.
Like it's cool and fascinating, and I'm happy that it's there, but it's also hilarious, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, it's endearing too, because
it is, totally.
You don't see this kind of like jokes from such a serious company as Microsoft. Not that they are always
right.
ultra serious.
And I don't think these are like meant as jokes per se.
Well, but I think it's exactly what you're saying. It's like dad trying to
totally.
Do that. But I think that they recognize what they're doing. And that's the
I think they
part.
Have to.
They
yeah.
have to. Surely they didn't. I mean, who you're writing down potato aim. Somebody who's using potato.
Somebody had a good time writing that sentence.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And there's no way that person
that
is not
that made that writer's
self-aware.
Day. That technical right. writer is so happy right now.
Get wrecked.
But yeah, there's also a bunch of other stuff in here that basically just says like, essentially it comes down to be yourself, but not at the expense of others, which I think is really cool. Like, they're promoting individuality, and like, they're also promoting, like, if it's hilarious, but not at the expense of others, like, that's fine. Just don't do anything at the expense of others, because it's not just your platform, it's everyone's platform.
Yeah, because it said, like, know your audience. It's like, if you're playing with your friends, like, you can say, you know, whatever they're comfortable with, but don't take those same remarks.
Don't go into, like, a public chat, you know? Like, that. There's other people, you know?
Yeah.
It's a really cool thing, and I'm really happy to see them, like, kind of take this stand, and also just spelling out, like, hey, maybe don't build a club around illegal drug use is like the first example of what not to do. And then people will get banned for it, and they'll be like, what did I do? And then it's right there just in fucking plain language for
them. XXX 420 blazing.
Right, right.
XXX.
Which
actually, I guess, well, that's
I guess that would kind of
like where you live,
break those guidelines.
Yeah.
Which is, I feel like maybe I mean, I guess, like, depending on how legislation goes in at least the United States, it depends whether or not that's illegal.
Well, and that is a good segue, well, not a segue, but, like, shines a light on the fact that a lot of this stuff is not totally black and white.
Sure.
So even, like, if we're making jokes about, like, marijuana, you know, depending where you live in the United States, it may be legal, it may not. You know, the company I work for, I work for a construction company, and they really have to think about their clauses with, like, if you get in an accident on the job site, they have to drug test you, period.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they do that, but if you had a license or for medical marijuana,
mm-hmm.
then this is suddenly a gray area. It's not black and white like it used to be before.
Sure.
It used to be straight black and white. Well, this is a great example of, like, look, it's not black and white. Talk to your friends how you're going to talk to your friends. Don't be like that with everybody. You know, and there's some nuance to here, like, with that, whether it's like making a group chat revolving around drugs,
right,
or anything, like, anything that would be like racist, because I could easily imagine that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's an entire section in this that's basically just like, hey, don't message other people with homophobic slurs. Mm-hmm. Don't threaten to harm people, like, after a bad game or something. Like, stuff that I
wish
feel
you didn't,
like,
have to say it.
I know, right? But I mean, you do.
Yeah.
And that sucks, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's there for a reason, and I guess the next step is to just see, like, how heavily they're kind of enforcing and moderating that, because I feel like after, like, Xbox Live took off, like, real, like, whole lot with, like, the Xbox 360, I feel like Xbox just got this bad rap of just being this place where, like, all of the, you know, 14-year-old kids would go to, like, insult each other's mothers on the internet, you know, and it's kind of cool to see them, like, take a stand, and it... I know that, like, other places and other platforms have, like, community standards, but this one really impressed me with how, like, just plain text it was, how easy to read and digest it was, and just the fact that they're taking a stand on being a dick on the internet. Like, just don't. And I'm happy to see that they're saying this is not a place for that. There is no place for that.
Yeah.
Get that shit out of here.
I wish that there was more League of Legends. So what I had kind of started to say before is, like, in the past 5-10 years, a lot of companies have made different moves towards curbing toxicity. Some of them have worked, some of them have not. You know, and the verdict is still out. The jury's still out on what the real solution is long term for a lot of this stuff.
Sure.
But in League of Legends, they had the tribunal. What you can do is you go on, you log into their website, and you become one of the people who checks the instances of when people get reported, right? So you can see... the score of the game, you can see the chat from the whole game, you can see all that good stuff, and based on however this person was reported, you can decide if this was someone toxic reporting someone else and it's totally just bogus, or if it's the other way around. I like the idea, but it just didn't seem to be as effective as it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you have to... There's a lot more to it than that. If Joe Schmo comes on here and is just a bad moderator, because technically you got an in-game reward for... contributing to the tribunal, any Joe Schmo could come in, but of course your, like, rating or whatever on there got better if you send a stamp that says, hey, this is real or it's not. Several other people will get the same thing that you did, and if it's reportable, well, either way, it'll send it to an actual mod who gets paid, I assume, mm-hmm. to do this stuff, and they will not only see your verdict but everyone else's, and it'll basically say, like, they'll see the same stuff you did, and they'll also make a decision that says, yeah, this person should be punished, or they should not, and based on whether or not your judgment was deemed accurate with how it should have gone, you get, you know, a rating that's boosted or lowered as a tribunal contributor.
That's really interesting.
So it's very interesting. I just wish it worked better because it never was effective as it needed to be. So I wish that we would see more of that across games, whether, you know, imagine if they did that with Apex Legends. Not that I've had really any issues at all with having to like report or ban people or anything. But let's say that we did, it'd be cool if I could go online, do that whole scenario, and then at the end, even if all you get is like, maybe if you do five of these, all you get is like 50 currency to use towards the shop, but that adds up, and if you stick around, you're going to get better at it and become a more valuable moderator. But the point of this is that it takes some of that workload off of, like, the company won't have to pay someone to go through just hundreds and thousands of report, of reports, you know. So as a community, if you can contribute that or to that, and they can give you just a really easy, especially like a vanity reward, I would love to see more of that. I think that there must be a reason I'm not thinking of that this hasn't taken off more, but I have always admired that system. I wish it worked better. I wish I could do that for games like Overwatch. I wish I could have been someone who was like, hey, I'll help you out. I want this stuff to go away, so I want to become more active.
Sure. So you're just into like the idea of almost the community, like almost policing itself, I guess.
Yeah. So it's crowdsourcing, but the idea is that when you had, so let's say I get a score for being a good moderator, like community mod, and if once my score was high enough, whatever I said, I'd be like, oh, this is definitely like 10 out of 10. This is absolutely a ban, or like, you know, this is a reportable offense. This is the real thing. And I would pass that on to someone who actually works, you know, who's a real mod for the game in some capacity.
Sure.
And so they'd make the actual, you know, ban hammer come down. But I would drastically reduce their workload because if I'm reputable, I could show them like, hey, you don't have to dig through this whole chat for this whole game. Like, I can already tell you it's bad. Just double check, you know, check my math, so to speak. But I really like that because it...
That's definitely an interesting idea. I haven't actually heard of that.
I don't know why anybody else doesn't do it.
Yeah, and I know, like, I guess in my mind, I'm kind of seeing that as it comes down to, like, I feel... And this might just be me personally, but having issues with, like... If everybody is like kind of rendering judgment on somebody, but nobody's actually encouraged to not be a dick, you know, if that makes sense. That's the only thing that I kind of feel like I take issue with. This is me just
spitballing. It's a two-part.
I don't have any idea.
Look it up. Maybe I'll bring this to the table next week.
Yeah, please do.
There was some conference. It could have been GDC. I don't remember what it was, but this was a year-ish. I want to say a year and a half, something like that ago, where a bunch of these companies, including Riot, including I think Microsoft, got together, and they actually had a big, it was almost like a summit. I mean, it was a big talk about curbing toxicity, like as a collective in the industry, not just a company by company basis. And that was the first time that anything like that had ever happened. And it was all these big names. So I should go dig that up and I'll bring it to the table next week. But I find that stuff fascinating because it's definitely a group effort. But the reason I say that is one of the things they talked about there is that it's not just about curbing bad behavior. It's encouraging positive behavior, like you're talking about. And some little things that have worked in those examples are thumbs upping people in Overwatch at the end of a game.
Yeah, like those commendations I think are pretty cool.
And I think League of Legends, as a result of all this stuff, because I think Blizzard was actually also at the table at this. But don't quote me on that. They pick that up, that commendation, that endorsement system that Overwatch does. So I think that stuff's great. No one thing is enough, because this is a big problem.
Sure.
But yeah, just being angry at people isn't the only way to,
right?
You know,
right.
It's the carrot or the stick, but the truth is you need both.
Oh, 100% agree. 100% agree. So moving on from that, you were telling me that there was some weird Pokemon article that was kind of going around. You started to tell me about it, and then I just told you to stop talking and tell me about it on the show, because I have not read this article, and I am a dumb, annoying Pokemon fanboy, so please enlighten me as to what the hell is going on.
Well, perfect. Well, it's pretty short and sweet, to be honest.
All right.
It's an article posted by Vice Games, which, as of this week, like, is called Vice Games. It used to be Waypoint.
Okay.
they wrote this article about this research that was just published today, actually, that basically says there's a specific part in your brain that is activated when people who have played Pokemon look at Pokemon. So, you know, the game, it's like, what, which Pokemon is that? I forget what it's called. It's
Who's that Pokemon?
That's right. And, you know, you see the outline of the Pokemon.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's totally Bulbasaur. And you're like, heck yeah, I'm really good at this.
I did it.
Yeah. You're like, Pikachu, and it's somehow Geodude. You're like,
yeah,
what,
you know, I was like, what the fuck? All right.
So the idea is that if you played if you played Pokemon when you were younger, the way that your brain was looking at these images affected the growth of a certain part of your brain. I'll look for it, but it's like occipital temporal something. It's on your temporal lobe.
Yeah.
But the idea is that based on imagery that's in front of you, this part of your brain will grow to scale. So like the two subjects, the guy running this research was like, well, Pokemon will be an easy indicator on this. We'll have a control group of people who have not played, who did not grow up playing Pokemon between the ages of 8 and 11, I think it was, and the test group that did play. And they found that they ran everybody through these MRI machines, and everybody who played Pokemon, when they were shown a picture of a Pokemon, it lit up the same exact part of the brain in every single person.
That's fucking cool.
So that stuff's like, the brain does all sorts of stuff like that, where it just categorizes stuff in a certain way based on visual stimuli and all sorts of other stimuli. But it's interesting because since it lit up every single portion in the test subject, but not in the control subject or a control group, it showed that I'm doing a poor job of explaining this, so I apologize. But basically, the way that this part of the brain grows is when you're looking at something, especially when you're younger, a small visual icon of any sort. What matters is how much of your vision it takes up. Like when you're looking at any given thing, is it close? Is it far away? Is it your whole field of view, or is it something small? With Pokemon, everybody's holding a Game Boy, so they're seeing about the same size of an image. And the other thing that matters is it in your central vision or your peripheral vision? Well, this is obviously your central vision. You're looking straight at the Game Boy. So all these kids developed this specific part of their brain like almost exactly the same way. So they all looked just the same, whereas the people in the other group didn't look, none of them lined up at all. So basically what that means is, when you are a kid, when you work out this certain part of your brain, not only does it carry with you into adulthood, but you can find with consistency how people's brains are going to be coded based on the way that they consumed imagery when they were younger. So Pokemon is the easy one because you're always looking at all these pictures of Pokemon. Yeah. But it's just an interesting thing where basically you can store and recall specific imagery very well. They said that the same thing that worked with Pokemon also worked with real animals. So it could be, this is my speculation, not the article, but it could be that that's a part of your brain that is specifically designed to recognize like animal threats or something. Again, that's my speculation, not anything I read in the article.
I mean, have you ever seen a Tangela? Like, he's fucking terrifying.
Yeah, that's so spooky. Can you imagine if Pokemon were real and you discovered the first real Pokemon and it was a Tangela?
Man.
That's some horror shit.
Yeah. I guess speaking of kind of for our sister show, Screen Heroes, I'm going to be on their show next week because I'm a dumb, annoying Pokemon fan, and I'm going to go see Detective Pikachu just talk about it into a microphone for like an hour and a half.
That's
so that'll be
about.
Really exciting. So tune to that. It's live on Twitch. That'll be cool.
That will be cool.
Maybe if you listen to that real hard, that'll also be burned into your brain. Just me talking about how fucking cool Ludicolo is, because he's fucking cool.
Yeah, you'll have to tell me, because I don't know what you just said.
Ludicolo is
Ludicrous? Yeah, sounds like it.
I'm just not even going to bother. yeah, that sounds really fucking cool. And
It's cool, because like, the idea there is that if you basically, if you built a Pokedex, you know, if you read a Pokedex when you were little, your
Which
brain...
Which I did.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry, I did.
Oh, I had, like, the literal one, and I couldn't figure out how to use it. Like, you could buy it.
Oh, that, like,
it
little toy one that was kind of garbage.
Yeah, it was kind of garbage.
Yeah.
It's a big letdown.
A lot of that stuff was.
But the idea is that you spend time when you're, especially when you're a child, looking at a Pokedex or something similar. This doesn't have to be Pokemon, but Pokemon was, of course, the example that he was immediately able to test for. If you use that, your brain basically gets better at having its own Pokedex. So, of course, if you're older now and you can immediately recognize, you know, who's that Pokemon.
I can. Don't worry.
Yeah, totally. Especially with those original 150.
That's really cool. Yeah, I guess I never really thought of that. I'm someone who's always had a pretty rock solid, like, working memory. So I never really realized that was different. But yeah, like, if you just... I could, like, you just look at, oh, fuck, that's a Vulpix. Oh, mm-hmm. Check out that shit. That's an Arcanine. Cool.
Right.
Oh, look at that Geodude over there. You know, like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That's fucking fascinating.
It seems like that same idea would apply to a lot of stuff. Like, if you were young and just, like, looked at a lot of collectibles and stuff.
Honestly, which I also did.
Yeah. It's also just another reason why you should introduce your kid to, like, visual stuff as they're growing
up. Because it clearly has some sort of lasting impression on them.
Yeah, I bought, I was looking for a birthday present for my nephew. He's four-ish. Mm-hmm. He's four and change now, four and a half. And I was at Barnes & Noble, and I was just looking for some stuff, and I found this, that, and the other. I was like, oh, cool, cool. Well, I found one that it's a series of books that it's just like 1,000 facts about, and then there's a bunch of them. There's like history. Here's one about space. Here's one about the Earth, you know, and all this, all sorts of stuff. And I was looking at these, and I picked them up. I'm like, man, this is cool as hell. Like, I would buy this for me right now. Like, this is full of so much cool information. It's so visually appealing, with all sorts of cool stuff that you can either not read if you want, mm-hmm. or you can learn about this stuff for real.
Yeah, whenever I was a kid, I had this little, like, pocket book that I carried with me all the fucking time over just, like, different, like, rocks and minerals of the world. And I remember huge fucking dork. I would always, I remember, like, vividly in my head just being really just kind of taken aback by how fucking pretty, like, a fire opal looks.
Mm-hmm.
It's got this, like, kind of, like, creamy and, like, orange kind of, it looks fucking awesome. And I've just always been, like, I was really drawn to just, like, visually, and, like, I can tell you what a lot of those look like still. It's probably for the same reason, because I just had this book, like, almost the same distance away of these little, like, icons of just how the rocks looked, and I saw them up close and all that shit, and I'm a
dude,
huge fucking nerd. Oh, my God.
I know we're going off on the deep end here, but this really, I mean, this is, I spent more time with other stuff. I never looked at rocks when I was a kid, but I love that stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Breckenridge, Colorado for the first time mm-hmm. over Christmas break with some people, and they had a lot. I mean, it's just a tourist trap. So they've got a ton of very expensive stuff all up and down. You know, there was like a cool, like, used bookstore that was straight out of Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Stacks and stacks of books. And you're just pulling them off. You're like, what's this? That was pretty cool. But most of the stuff I did not care about at all. Ooh.
Ooh, your little thunderstorm going on out there. Cool.
So we'll wrap this up. But the one store that I went back to like three different times was straight up the rock store. It was the geology store. It had so many cool minerals and rocks and stuff. I bought one that was actually orange. I know it wasn't a fire opal, but you know, those little collectibles, man, that's the way you do it.
Yeah, I always thought that they were going to be like super hard to get. Like, I thought of them almost as like a little Pokedex that I had, like that little book. I'm like, man, I want to collect all of these and it's going to be cool. And some of them are going to be near impossible to get. And I remember feeling like almost let down whenever I walked into a store in the mall in Pittsburgh and just saw like this giant thing of amethyst for sale. I'm like, that was too fucking easy. Are you kidding me?
I was going to hunt for that stuff.
Yeah, I was like, I wanted to go on these like cool adventures. Nah, I just needed to give this dude in a mall like in like a weird t-shirt like $3.
Or me trying to hunt for morel mushrooms, couldn't find a single one, and then check the internet that night, and people are like, oh, look, I have too many. I only got 1,000. I got 1,000 mushrooms. Does anybody want them? I'm like,
oh,
man.
Oh, man. Yeah. They were trying to hunt for those shiny morels.
So, that's right. Good callback.
It's a Pokemon joke. All right. Yeah, I think that's going to do it. I know it's starting to storm, and I don't want to lose power.
It is. It's quite spooky.
And... yeah, I gotta pack up some stuff. So
let's do that. Hey, before you dive into the normal one, I want to do shout out. Probably by the time you've heard this, the spoiler ban on Avengers Endgame has lifted. But you should go listen to Screen Heroes coverage of Endgame. Last week they did a review of it. and it's pretty cool.
I actually have not listened to that yet. I will make sure to do that probably tomorrow because I am burning through podcasts lately. I need more to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to do it for us. If you like what you heard, please consider kicking us a buck or however much you want. Money's cool. At patreon.com.
10 stones.
10. All right.
10 amethysts.
Yeah, 10 amethysts that you buy at the mall in Pittsburgh.
And a
That store doesn't exist anymore either, which is a huge bummer.
If somebody sends in a shiny mushroom, man, I'm going to come up with something cool to send you.
Yeah, if you have any fire opals lying around, just DM me on Twitter. We'll talk. consider giving us a buck or 12 at patreon.com/heroespodcast. That'll help the show and network grow to do cool stuff, buy equipment, all that jazz. If you can't contribute financially, that's all right. Just go ahead and share the show with someone or rate, review us, give us comments. Please like us. Please.
Please.
If you're this far in the show and you don't like us, I don't understand why you did that.
They're collecting podcasts.
Okay, great. If you have any questions for us or want to tell us how much you just love our voices, just hit us up on Twitter at GamerHeroesPod, and your submissions just might make the show for next week. Obviously not this week, because it's done.
Mm-hmm.
You can find my tweets at TheCandyMan. You can keep up with what us GGKC folk are up to at GG_Kansas_City or GG-KC.com. And you can come hang out in our Facebook group, which is Looking for Geeks GGKC, or our Discord, which is somewhere. I think it's on our pinned tweet.
Yes.
I think a link to that is there. So yeah, that'll do it. For Thomas and myself, thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, have a good one.